Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 926. 926. When overwhelmed with doubts and fear, great God, do thou my spirit cheer. Let not my eyes with tears be fed, but to the rock of ages led. Hymn 926.
Reading this evening is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 42. The book of Genesis, chapter 42. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? He said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren. For he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. For the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him, with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. He said unto them, whence come ye? They said, from the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land ye are come. They said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. He said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man, in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that is it, that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us, And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. For he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man money, every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for all the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored. And lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day of our father, in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me. Take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. It came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. He said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the way which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow. to the grave. Lord, we ask thy blessing to rest upon thy word we have read this night, and that thou wouldst make it profitable to us. That manna to our souls may be given, the bread of life sent down from heaven. We may know what it is to eat and to drink of the bread and water of life this night. That we may know the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our hearts and souls. Help us, Lord, as we venture near thy throne in worship. Lord, give to us that worshipping frame. And Lord, only thy people can truly worship, because thou hast given to them of thy Spirit. Lord, make us thy people. And give us this night thy Spirit of truth, that we may worship thee acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. We thank thee, Lord, for thy day, for thy word and gospel. For the holy life and spotless death of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the glorious truth we sang of this morning, there is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Lord, may we know that there is an advocate this night. By thee sending answers of peace and pardon into our souls, may we know, Lord, that there is a throne of love. By thee pouring thy love into our hearts, Lord, help us, Lord, to thank thee for all thy mercies, the mercies of sovereign grace or sin abounding. The mercies which flow from Jesus Christ, for the love of the Father, for the love of the Son, for the love of the Spirit, for all that God Almighty has done for poor sinners like we, in the grand, precious scheme and plan of salvation. Lord, give us faith in that salvation. Help us, Lord, to flee to that refuge which thou hast provided for sinners. Help us to flee from ourselves and from anything else, and flee to the wounds of Jesus for our sin. And Lord, do give to us thy Holy Spirit. Teach us by thy Spirit. Teach us of Christ and of ourselves. Make us humble of mind. Make us meek, teachable, obedient to thee. Give us that true love for thee. Make us true followers after thee. And make us even more, Lord, may we know what it is to walk with God. Grant, Lord, the gift of grace. And then, Lord, grant that growth in grace. Grant the fruit of grace. Give us the mind of Christ. Help us to follow his example. Teach us to love thee, to trust thee. May Christ be all in all to us. And do grant thy blessing and help this week. May, Lord, we each know thy aid and presence, thy support, thy provision of thy hand, thy wisdom and grace, strength to be given for each day, wisdom to handle matters in thy fear, thy preservation over us, keeping us from harm and danger and from falling into sin. Be of any, Lord, who need thee in any special way and supply their needs and bless them. And do bless this people. Bless the ministry of thy word. Bless the provision of thy house and fill thy poor with bread. Bless the services tomorrow. Gather with this people and abundantly pour out of the treasures of thy word, we pray. May it be a time to remember. Do help the deacons of this cause. Do supply their needs. And give them grace to fulfill their office. And do help them in their personal pathways in life. May they know thee to be very near to them. Grant thy help in the choice of the praises which are sung service by service. And may they feel and know that thou art with them, that thou art directing them and guiding them. And then, Lord, we ask thy blessing, thy direction, thy guidance, thy presence on each member of this church. Be with them when they meet around thy table. Be with them when they meet for their church meetings to consider the business of thy house. Give them the mind of Christ. Give them the unity of the Spirit. Give them love to the brethren. Lord, keep them together. Do bless them. Do protect them, do guide them. And do grant, Lord, there may be those gracious additions to this church, those who now are saved. Bless the ministry of thy word here. Bless thy servants whom thou dost send into this pulpit. Grant, Lord, that this may be a watered garden, a field which the Lord God hath blessed. Bless each member of this congregation with their various needs, their different pathways in life. Remember the children and the young people. Remember the babes. Thank thee, Lord, for the gift of a babe to our friends here. We pray for that life, and we pray that the parents may be given wisdom to bring them up in thy fear. And that we pray, Lord, for every parent here. Give them wisdom and grace. We pray for every child, every young person, that thou would supply their needs in the dawn of the journey of life. That thou would visit each early with thy salvation. That thou wouldst bless the labours of the Sunday school. That thou wouldst give them a hearing ear and an understanding heart. that thou wouldst bless them to this house of prayer and others, houses of prayer in time to come. And then, Lord, do supply their providential needs that they will have. Do open doors for them and guide them aright. Bless those in the midst of life. Lord, no less do we need thy guidance as the young. No less do we need thee to open doors. No less, Lord, do we need thee to bless us, to teach us, to save us, to be with us. Among the busy scenes of life, may we not forget the one thing needful, to be in union with Christ and to be made ready for eternity. But do help those in the midst of life in business concerns, in family concerns, in their personal concerns. Lord, may they know the sweetness of the hymn, "Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply." Lord, give us each that grace and that faith to cast our burdens on thee this night, and prove thee faithful to thy promise. Remember those drawing near the evening time of life, and those in the evening time. Sanctify old age and weakness and weariness of the body. Grant, Lord, thy presence, thine aid and help. Grant, Lord, thy grace in old age. Grant, Lord, all needed strength in their felt bodily weaknesses. And do help them in the evening time of life, as thou hast helped them all their journeys through. And in the evening time, may it be light in their souls. Prepare us, Lord, to remember thy dying love at the close of this service. May we have thy presence there. May we know thy smile and thy approbation, the peace of God in our hearts. Bless, we pray, thy church as it meets for worship this day worldwide. Bless thy servants as they labour and preach thy gospel today. Bless, Lord, the preaching, and bless the hearing. Lord, may something be done. Lord, may something have already been done today. But Lord, go on to do great things this night. Remember, Lord, our rulers. Put thy fear and grace in their hearts. And do at this time stem the tide of war. Do protect thy people. Grant thy deliverance might be known. Remember those in the Ukraine, in Russia, especially those in both lands who fear thy name. Protect them, we pray. And grant, Lord, that there might yet be a just and honourable peace brought about. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst call by grace the rulers of those lands and the rulers of our land. May we yet see godly men raised up who have the influence of thy grace in high places. And may that influence be seen and have an effect in this and in other nations for good, for thy glory and honour. The Lord, we pray that thou wouldst protect thy people. And thou wouldst restrain the men of violence. Help us, Lord, as we come now to thy word of truth. Speak to us through it, we pray. Crown thy gospel with success in our hearts. May Christ be formed there, the hope of glory. Lord, give us that root of love and grace and fear. And then, Lord, the fruit will be love and grace and fear too. Leave us not, we pray. Leave us not, Lord, to be strangers to thee. May we hear thee say, even this night, thou art mine. We ask for Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same for endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. Hymn 981.
seeking the Lord's help. I ask you to turn this evening to the book of Genesis, chapter 42, and one sentence in verse 25. And to give them provision for the way. And to give them provision for the way. We have here Joseph. Kindly supplying the needs of his brethren. The needs of those very brethren who all those years before had treated him so unkindly. We have here God's promise brought to pass. Joseph had waited a large part of his life for the fulfillment of this promise that one day his brethren would bow before him. And here unexpectedly it comes to pass, just as the Lord had said. And who would have thought that a famine would have brought it about? God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. It was sheer necessity which drove them to Egypt. They'd said in their time of want that they'd never bow before their brother. And yet, here, without realizing it, they're doing the very thing they said they would not do. Be careful with your nevers. God hears them. And he may bring you to have to do the very thing you said you would never do. It was because they lacked that they came. And we have here how they did not go away empty. We have here of how they reaped where they sowed. They would never have been put into prison had they not treated Joseph the way they had done. And even though it was many years since that had happened, a lifetime ago, God had his way and his means to bringing them face to face with their sin. There may be sins that you committed many years ago which you've forgotten about. And yet you have in recent days found that God has not forgotten them and has brought them back to your memory. Go to him then for forgiveness. Because the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. Even your deepest sin. Even your greatest sin. even your worst sin. The blood of Christ thy soul canst cure. Do not despair. Remember, beloved friends, and we see in this chapter just how much Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph knew his brethren, but they did not know him. Christ knows his brethren. But until he makes himself known and reveals himself unto them, we do not know him. To give them provision for the way. And here we find how he supplies their need, but he will not let them pay for it. Because they were his brothers, because he had a love for them, because there was a blood relationship, Joseph would not take their money. What grace he shows in not only supplying their needs, but restoring their money. But now this evening I want to take this word in a spiritual way. To what the heavenly Joseph does for his people. As he gives them provision for the way. And like Joseph's brethren, we cannot pay for these provisions with good works, with good deeds, with good intentions. It's all a gift, each one. The gift of a gracious, loving elder brother. A gift because in an even more blessed and deeper way than the events that literally took place in our chapter, there was a blood relationship between Joseph and his brethren. They shared the same father. They shared the same blood. So there is a blood relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. By covenant, transaction, and blood, said Jesus, my people are mine. Their sin bearing surety I stood, yea, for them my life did resign. Yea, just as Joseph and his brethren had the same father. So in a blessed sense, beloved friends, remember what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples through Mary Magdalene. Go to my brethren and tell them I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and to your God. There could not be a closer relationship between Christ and his brethren. And though, like Joseph's brethren, we have treated this blessed elder brother so basely, far worse even than Joseph's brethren treated him, yet like Joseph, he was not ashamed, was he? To identify himself a few chapters later as these brethren. I am Joseph, your brother, only a few chapters later. He wasn't ashamed to publicize it to Pharaoh and to others. So, child of God, we read, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, And that is so of the whole family of God, collectively. It is equally true individually. And yes, this evening you may feel to be the least in your Father's house. You may feel to be the most unworthy to be there. You may feel to have been the most far off, the one who has failed. When you were called by grace, you had such good intentions, didn't you? You were going to be the best believer that had ever been, the most faithful follower, the most consistent walker, the one who bore the most fruit. And what has happened? This evening you look back and you see sin and failure, and how far short you have come of those good intentions that you had. But yet, beloved friend, he's not ashamed to call you brethren. In spite of all that. Why? Because he has a love for you, that's why. He has a care for you, that's why. It's the same here. Joseph could, and he would have been justified, in one sense, had he strictly been responding in like manner as he had been treated, have rejected his brother's demand. But he didn't. Not only did he give them what they needed, he did for them what he didn't do for anyone else. He restored the money with their provisions. Bring no money, price, nor aught. No good deeds, nor pleasing frame. Mercy never can be brought. Grace is free in all the lambs to give them provision for the way. Well then, what provision is he going to give you, child of God, as you walk the way? What provision has he already given you? First of all, he's given you himself. To be a saviour. To be a sacrifice. To stand and to pay your debt and supply your greatest need. That when you could not pay the debt that you owed to Almighty God, he himself paid that debt in full for you. Provision for the way, the precious blood that he has shed. And beloved friend, if tonight you are under the blood, it does not matter how dangerous the way, it does not matter how dark the way, it does not matter how difficult the way, it does not matter who may be opposing you in the way this evening, it does not matter how weak you are, there is safety under the blood. And with you it must and it shall go well. Because none who are under this precious blood can ever be lost, can ever go wrong. This is a way to heaven. Provision for the way, the precious blood of Christ. Is not this what we need? But do we not sin every day in this way? Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you need the blood of Jesus? Is there any one of us that can dare say we do not? Beloved friend, if you say this evening in your heart, no, I don't, you're in a sad, solemn, and dangerous condition. Because only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you from the almighty wrath of God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you from eternal destruction. We all need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin. And to those who are found in this way of faith, they are under this blood of the New Testament, this blood of the New Covenant. By which, believer, your pardon has been signed and sealed and ratified and all things ordered well. By which your peace with God has been procured and purchased and made and settled to give them provision for the way. To give you of his righteousness, as well as his precious blood. You need that provision. Because our own righteousnesses are not fit to be seen. They're rags. And beneath those rags, our sin is plainly seen. It may look very nice to us, but to God they're utterly contemptible. And none who stand in his presence dressed in their own righteousness ever found safety or acceptance there. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given provision in this way and for the way. In the righteous life that he has lived, in the obedience which he has done to the law of God. For these brethren he has lived for them. For these brethren he has obeyed for them. For these brethren he has labored and kept the law for them night and day through those 33 years. For these brethren he has been tempted in all points, like as you were and have been, that he may give a perfect obedience. Every sin you are being tempted, child of God, to commit, and have been deceived by Satan and your own wretched heart and fallen, and brought shame and disgrace upon yourself, and dishonored the law of God. And made your own righteousness in so doing worthless. At some point in his life, Jesus was tempted for you. For your sake, he allowed Satan to draw near. Even though he could not stand his presence. And even though it was a grief to him to have the suggestion put to him by Satan to do that which grieved his father, yet for your sake, believer, he allowed Satan to put the temptation to him. And in every case, he rejected it. Child of God, have you ever considered the sorrow you caused him in his life? He was a man of sorrows. And one of the reasons he was a man of sorrows was because of his holy nature. Sin was something that he never got used to. It was always deeply offensive to him. It was always a deep grief to him. It was always something he could not stand. And therefore, to be tempted to commit the same sins as he saw others committing. To be tempted to commit the same sins that you have committed was a grief. Provision for the way. Do you know what the hymn writer said? This is the way I long have sought, and mourned because I found it not. My grief, my burden long has been, because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled yet the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. O glad I come, and thou blessed Lamb shalt take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. And what a blessing it is when God in the person of his Son reveals to one of these little ones that he is the way of salvation. That it is his obedience, not yours, that saves. That it is his blood, not yours, that saves. That he's obeyed for you. I am the way. And by faith he will draw you into that way. And that then will change how you obey. No longer will you be obeying to try and escape hell and justice and to earn and merit heaven. Now you obey out of love to the God who has said in his Son, I am the way. For a believer under the influence of grace, it is his privilege and his pleasure to keep the law of God because it pleases the one who he loves, the one who he owes so much to. The one who has done all for him. And if we have the Spirit's work going on within, one of the fruits is that when grace is strong, you will love God and you will love the things of God, and therefore it will be your delight to obey. To give them provision for the way. And it is only that gift which gives us this evangelical obedience, which is the very opposite of legalism and trying to earn and merit salvation. To give them provision for the way. And then he gives in the person of the blessed Holy Spirit a guide for the way. We can't get to heaven on our own. Like those Israelites, we need that pillar to guide us. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar guide me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. But if you have the Holy Ghost guiding you, you can't go wrong. Even though it may sometimes be in a way which you do not understand, a way which you would not have chosen. No, you wouldn't. But you don't know the way, do you? Had you gone your way, you'd have gone wrong. Friend, God knows what he's doing. And your grace this evening, although you do not understand, is by faith to submit, knowing and trusting in this that he understands. In his own time, you'll know it was right. But until he sees fit to reveal to you the way and just what he is doing, it is your strength to trust him. And lean on the fact that though you do not understand, rest here, he does. That's all you need. Then ask God this evening to give you that grace to trust him. This is one of the greatest provisions we need. The gift to trust our God. Especially when we cannot understand what he's doing. Because when we cannot understand, Satan will tell you you made a mistake. Your natural mind will tell you made a mistake, but you're wrong. And Satan's wrong. And you're not going to find peace rebelling. You're not going to find peace murmuring and complaining. You need to be brought to what the hymn writer had to come to. Lord, I would indeed submit, gladly yield my all to thee. What thy wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for me only when the way is rough. And the coward flesh would start, let thy promise and thy love cheer and animate my heart, provision for the way. But remember, friend, it's a gift. And perhaps this evening you feel to lack this trust. Ask God to give it to you, this childlike trust. I remember years ago in the vestry, somewhere in the Midlands, I was talking with two deacons, and one of them said how it had struck him that morning, how his child trusted him for everything. And it had convicted him that his child trusted him far more than he trusted in God. Beloved friends, let us ask God to give us that trust, to rest in him, to give them provision for the way. But his Spirit will guide you. His Spirit will direct you. His Spirit will lead you in the way that you should go. And in this way, he will teach you. And one of the reasons he is leading you in the way he is, which is so different to the way you thought, is because he is preparing you for heaven. And therefore, you need to be taught things on your way to there. And you couldn't learn them any other way than in the way he's taking with you. And so he's going to teach you humility by showing you your need of it. He's going to teach you dependence by making you realize just how you are unable to do anything for yourself. He's going to teach you your need of wisdom by showing you your lack of it. He is going to strengthen your faith by putting you into those situations where only God Himself can deliver you. That's the way He answers prayer for faith and patience and for an increase in grace. In almost all circumstances, He'll put you in the fire. But, beloved friends, He will not only put you in, He'll preserve you in it, and He'll bring you out the other side. It's not in anger, it's in His covenant love. It's not to destroy you, it's to refine you, it's to make you more like Him, to give them provision for the way. To teach you more of your sin and more of your need of Christ. You say, why do I need to be taught that? Because one day you are going to be in heaven praising Him. And you will be thanking Him for delivering you in mercy from your sin. And in order to prepare you to sing that song, first of all, He's going to show you something of just what you owe, what He owes you. Sorry, what you owe Him. Something of the depth of your sin, and yet the depth of His love. His love is greater than your sin. His blood is stronger than your sin. And you will be able to sing Worthy the Lamb in deeper notes and in higher notes because of what you're passing through now. To give them provision for the way. It is necessary. It's a preparation for heaven. And, beloved friend, remember this. Your Father's hand prepares the cup. And what He wills is best. And if you can, by faith this evening, get a glimpse that it is your Heavenly Father, who is preparing the cup that He's giving you, that will put your present pathway in an entirely different light. Because you will know that your Father will only do what is in your interest. You know that your Father will only do what He does for love's sake for you. Out of kindness, out of compassion. So those of you in the dark this evening, ask God to give you some light that you might see your Father's hand above the darkness, holding your cup. And also holding you in His hand. To give them provision for the way. To give them all the grace that they need, all the patience that you need. Give you that grace to follow in His footsteps, to follow in His example, to seek to be more like Him. It's only as He gives us grace that we can do that. And then to seek that grace that he may give us more grace. Because, beloved friends, we need this gift every day. It's not just at the beginning of the way that he gives these provisions and then leaves us to fend for ourselves. Friends, we need him to give these provisions every day. But he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when labours increase. To added affliction, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, and you will. Yes, those of you this evening who are perhaps in the beginning of the way, young, strong. Perhaps this evening it seems impossible that you could be exhausted. And there will come a time when you will know what it is. But when you have exhausted your store of endurance, when your strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we come to the end of all our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. To be brought to realize, believer, when you come to the end, God has not come to the end of his resources. And he allows you to come to the end to teach you where they came from in the first place. To teach you your dependence. To teach you your need of him. To teach you your need of prayer, not just at the beginning and the end of the day. But before that meeting that you've got to go to, ask for wisdom. Before that decision that has got to be made, ask for wisdom. Before you have to pick up that phone, ask for wisdom. Before you answer that question, ask for the wisdom that you feel to lack. It's to teach us our utter dependence upon him. And we would know more of his deliverance. We would know more of the giving of these provisions if we asked for them more. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Can you complain if you have not asked in the first place? Yes, God does give. But he will be inquired of. He will not be taken for granted. And that is the reason for prayer. It's not to improve his knowledge, because that is impossible. He already knows what you need. Rather, it's to improve our knowledge of what we need and to improve our knowledge and our awareness of our dependence upon God. And therefore, when he gives it, our gratitude and thanksgiving too. Don't forget, after he has given you these provisions, to thank him for it. How often do we forget that? But we shouldn't. Because not one of these provisions do we ever deserve. It's all of his grace to give them provision for the way. gives them food and drink. The bread and the water of life. Christ himself is that bread and water. In other words, beloved friends, just as by nature it is vital that we eat and drink food and drink to survive for our bodies, and we cannot survive long without them. So if you are alive spiritually, you'll know what it is to feed upon Christ. In other words, you'll need him. You won't be able to do without him. You'll need his blood and righteousness. You'll need him as an advocate and as a friend and as a high priest. You'll need all that he is to be provided for you, if your faith is to be strong and healthy. To each one in this family of God, he gives them himself as is the food and the water of life. He gives his precious word as their food, as an encouragement in the way to go on. Is that a word to one of you this evening? Go on. Don't go back. Go on. Perhaps you're almost ready to give up. Perhaps you've come to a dead halt. Perhaps it's so dark and difficult. You're almost ready to turn around and go back. Here's the Lord's word to you this evening. Go on. You know what he said to Moses? When he said to him, "The people are ready almost to stone me," the Lord said, "Go on to the rock." Poor trembling sinner this evening, to you he says the same thing. Go on to the rock of ages, cleft for you. Go on to flee to Christ. And seek from him that spiritual strength, that spiritual courage that you need to go on. Ask him to show you what it is to lean upon him. Ask him to carry you through. Ask him to do for you this evening what you feel you cannot do for yourself. And he will not reject your call. He will hear your cry, and he will answer your need. So this evening, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed, go on. And to give them provision for the way. This way will end in heaven. In the presence of Jesus, there is a journey's end. And then there will be no more need. Every need there is supplied immediately. There's no more lack. There is no more storms. They've reached the end of the way. And they sing victory and worthy unto the Lamb that was slain. And there they praise him. As they consider and ponder on the way that they took through life to heaven, just how much he did for them. Much of which they couldn't see here while they were travelling through. But there it will be clearly seen. And there they praise him as they understand fully the debt of love to him they owe. May we know something of that here. And may the love of Christ constrain us as we go in this way to seek to walk worthy of him and to seek to lean upon him, trusting in a wise and gracious and a loving God to give us all that we need for the way. My shepherd will supply my need, Jehovah is his name. There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. And one day, believer, you'll get home. And as a child at home, in the presence of your heavenly Father, you will sit down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit eternally will be sweet to your taste. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock at our anniversary services, and tea will be provided and collections for the Needy Cases Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach, and there will be a church meeting on Monday, the 9th of May. Let us close with hymn 991. Emptied of earth I fain would be, the world myself and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. 991.
Thank you.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thy holy eyes have seen wrong in our worship this day. Lead us in that way everlasting. Thy presence through our journeys shine, and crown our journey's end. Do be with those who now depart. Watch over them, go with them, bless them. Be with those of us now who remain at thy command and gracious invitation to draw near to the table of the Lord, to remember thy dying love. May we have thy presence there, and remember those who will watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, remain with us now and forever. Amen.